trusting.
I'd like to start by reading the 23rd Psalm, verses 1 through 6. This is a psalm that I can remember memorizing when I was a real little child. And it always is something special. Anyway, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Well, the psalm starts, it opens with the words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Throughout the Old Testament, the word rendered Lord is in the Hebrew Jehovah, and therefore applies to our Heavenly Father and not to His Son. So our Heavenly Father is a great shepherd in the Psalms, and His interest in us as His sheep is a gift as His dearly beloved Son to be our Redeemer and Advocate and Caretaker. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." One of the main evidences of the Heavenly Father's care for us is the provision of Jesus as our chief under-shepherd. Our Heavenly Father, the great over-shepherd, appointed His Son to be the under-shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." In due time, Jesus did give his life for the sheep and for the whole world of mankind. It is only when we in our hearts can say, "The Lord is my shepherd," that is, if we have met all the requirements necessary to become his sheep, which is giving our whole heart to our Lord, then we realize the blessed ministry of the great shepherd. The work of the shepherding is not exercised towards the world. Only those who have heard his voice and responded in connection are in his flock and under his care. Only those who have sheep-like dispositions and have a desire to be led by the shepherd have his watch care. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, it says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." But there are other sheep. In John 10, 16, it says, "Other sheep have I, which are not in this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Our Lord will accomplish this during the kingdom when eventually the God's whole creation will be in the one fold. Then will all the families of the earth be one. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole work family is in heaven and on earth is named. But all the families of the earth are included in this promise, but that's for later on. However, at this present time, our interest is in the little flock, you and me, to which alone this lesson refers. Verse 1 continues with, "I shall not want." Applying this psalm to the little flock, we find all of its provisions fit, because the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. If we submit our wills to the shepherd's will and trust in his overruling guidance, in doing this we will be satisfied with what the Lord provides and be relieved of any anxious cares or cravings so common to the world, because faith can firmly trust him come what may. The sheep appreciate heavenly things more than earthly things, and our wants are more than supplied when we accept by faith the divine assurance that no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's Psalms 84:11. I'd like to read the Songs of the Night for that verse. The Lord God is the sun and the shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And the comments say, our text is a great encouragement to the David class, the beloved class, the anointed ones, the members of Christ. To these, the Lord God is both a sun and shield. He not only enlightens these, but he will not suffer them to be injured by the blessings which he bestows upon them. He will shield them from all enemies and everything that would tend to injure them in any manner. All things shall work together for good to those that love him, to the called ones according to his purpose. With such blessings assured, then we may come back and look forward in the future with rejoicing and with confidence, trusting to have a share in the glorious reward God hath promised to the faithful. Unquote. We have these assuring words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or whether shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have needs of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We must first seek his kingdom, the kingdom of God. This is our first priority. The world seeks after and worries about earthly things. We don't have these worries. Our Lord will give us everything we need. And it may not be what our flesh wants, but it will be exactly what our new creature needs and desires to make our calling election sure. We also shall not want for light or for truth. John chapter 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. This is why our new creature needs to follow in our Lord's footsteps, to learn more of his plans and purposes for us, and to develop our characters after his. Jesus is the light. He will give us the truth we need and desire. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto me but my Father. We can see if we go through the studies in the Bible and the scriptures and Brother Russell, everything depends on our Lord Jesus. He died for us. We shall also not want for necessity, care, and discipline. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? Whatever cup the Father pours for us, and it will be a difficult one many times, let us keep in mind in Psalms 55, verse 22, cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer us to be moved. So we always have, we can depend on the Lord, and we can always take all of our problems to him. We shall not lack in divine grace during the time of trials and afflictions. Following the Apostle Paul's petition for the removal of his thorn in the flesh, his prayer was answered in these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Can we say the same thing? Can we accept the Lord's will and be content with his due time to change our conditions? This is very hard to do, because our new creature is willing, but our old man, our old body, isn't so willing. we want to keep ourselves. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, for the flesh lusts after the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and the two are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would do. Well, none of us are without experiences like these. We have a fight within and without, and it must be a fight to the finish. And we will get our prize if we can do that. There's no prize for not driving and not trying. And no matter how hard our trials get, we cannot ever feel that it's not worth it, because it is worth it. It says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he shall also deny us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. And it's worth everything that we go through. I think we can all admit to that. We go through some trials that are difficult, but when it's finished, we'll be happy. So it also says we shall not want for fellowship. Let us note the apostle's words in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus. Our closest fellowship is with our Lord Jesus. We can go to him anytime with anything, with any problems. He is our truest friend. Well, how do we go about making friends? Our friends should be the brethren. The brethren are our best friends. First of all, we must be a friend before we can have a friend. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So true and lasting friendship can only exist between unselfish people with wills whose wills are fully submitted to our Heavenly Father's will. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times. If we faithfully walk in our Lord's footsteps, and if we do to the fullest extent of our ability and trustfully do this, we will find that all of our wants and fellowship and are abundantly supplied. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's right. No good thing will he withhold from his sheep, which stray not from his fold. This is a precious promise that we can hold on to, especially when we're going through difficult trials. It helps to think, somehow or other, this must be good for me. I do that a lot, because he won't withhold anything from us that we don't need. At verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. To lie down is to be at rest and to be happy. And this is a privilege that we all have. Outwardly, we may be distressed, being assailed by the world and the flesh and the devil. But as new creatures, we will be at rest, at peace, because of our nearness to our Lord and because of our faith in his overruling providences, which is able to make all things work out together for each one of us. That this peace of God rule in our hearts. It is to all of God's family, all of us, all of his sheep, that our Lord's word applies to. John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We are not going to get this peace in the world. Our Lord is going to give it to us. Our Lord admonishes us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. The green pastures beautifully illustrate the rich truth of the Lord has provided for all of his people. God's green pastures of truth are always green and fresh to those who lean to learn and to know and appreciate its values. Do we appreciate all these beautiful truths that we have? Does it give us a rest? I think it does. As Christians, we are not immune from trials. They are very much needed for the development of the new creature. But there are seasons of rest and refreshment so that we can take these lessons which we have learned and think on them and put them into practice into our lives. And we have the assurance of God's peace, which does pass all our understanding. We need to put these things, work on them, develop Christ-like character. Sheep generally keep together in flocks as they graze, and to this end, a good shepherd keeps his sheep together and does not separate them. The words of the Apostle Paul are fitting in this connection. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 to 25, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Just like sheep flock together, we as the Lord's sheep assemble ourselves together. It is very important to meet and study with others of like precious faith, exhorting one another and listening and watching and helping each for our shepherd's leading and guidances. And we would not be faithful on our own. It's very important. We have help with our brethren, and we need the brethren's help. Let us not wait until the privilege is taken from us and then say, I wish I had used my opportunities when I had it. Let's say, I did meet, I did study. Now the Lord must have some new experience for me. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Waters is a symbol of truth concerning God and his divine plan, not only as it relates to this new creature, but in due time to all of mankind. The good shepherd leads us to the still and safe waters, where we may drink without danger. These still waters are not stagnant, but pure and living waters of truth. As we drink deeply of these waters of truth, we come to realize of the personal and intimate relationship we have with our Heavenly Father. It will bring peace and tranquility to us, as suggested by the margin reading, Waters of Quietness. Job chapter 34, verse 29. When he gives quietness, who then can make trouble? And when he hideth his face, who then can behold him? The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be ye strength. When our Lord purposes to give peace and quietness, the whole world will be in obedience to his laws, and none will make trouble. When we have difficulties and trouble, we should look to our Lord. We should keep in mind that we are under a special care, and nothing could happen to us unless the Lord permitted it. So we must always remember it's a special lesson. And many of us are under these special lessons, these difficulties and trials. They are blessings too. How would we make our calling and election sure without them? Having a knowledge of God's plans and purpose and realizing His justice, mercy, and love all give quietness. So we have the peace of mind which the world does not have. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The verse three, Psalms 23:3, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. He saves our life is a literal meaning. The soul is a living being. In our case, the footstep followers of Jesus, it is a new spiritual life, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It is a gradual bending heavenward of the things which we normally want to bend earthly for. Romans chapter 12 verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The sheep in David's time were subject to many dangers, which made it necessary for the shepherd to be watchful and use his skills to prevent the loss of a sheep. Wild animals roamed the countryside, and on one occasion, David slew a lion as it attempted to carry away a sheep. And we find that in 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 and 36. As new creatures, we have many enemies on the alert to do us harm. Our enemies want to separate us from the shepherd and destroy our life as new creatures. A warning note is called to our attention by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, where he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Then Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Let us be careful, let us not give up what we have too easily, but let's just hold to it and prove what we believe and then stay firmly in it. If we follow the voice of the truth, we will find ourselves associated with His flock. Verse 3 goes on to say, He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. In the rugged country where David tended his sheep, it was important to follow paths which were previously used or predetermined. These paths might lead through mountain passes or ravines, or over the barren wilderness and desert. It was necessary for the shepherd to be acquainted with these paths, to know the safe ones from the unsafe ones, and to know where the path led. It was essential that the sheep follow the leadings of the shepherd in whatever way he might lead. How well this illustrates our dependence on the Lord. In the world, we are surrounded by wilderness, besetments, and with danger of many kinds. And there is pathways out of this wilderness, but it is important that we follow the leadership of the Good Shepherd. paths in plural suggest divine leadings in all the individual ways of our life. Paths of righteousness are not easy ways. Seldom are they wide and smooth. Generally, they're very narrow and difficult and uphill. Our entire course as Christians is spoken of as a way of death unto life, and as described as a narrow way, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be found in it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. The true sheep have been and are being led in the right and proper path. And we are assured this by our Lord in Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. These are beautiful promises. Every provision was made for our guidance. This has been attested to by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scriptures is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Verse 3 continues, for his name's sake. The good shepherd leads his flock in the path of righteousness, for his name's sake. Time will prove that the works of God will be the glory of this great name, his great name. Jesus had this in mind when he spoke in John chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Let us ever keep this in mind, that whatever we do, we want to glorify our Lord and our Heavenly Father's name. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatever ye do, do all in the glory of God. We have an illustration of this in the case of Moses when he prayed for the salvation of Israel in order that God's name may not be brought into reproach in Egypt. It was on this occasion when God suggested to Moses that he destroy the nation of Israel and start a new nation with Moses as its head. Moses was more concerned about the glory of God's name than his own advantages. Is this the way we feel? Are we more concerned about God's name or about our name? We should be more concerned about God's name. Verse 4, Psalms 23, chapter 4, or verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The rod and the staff, they comfort me. The paths of righteousness over which the good shepherd leads us are described by the psalmist as walking through the valley of the shadow of death. The right path through which the good shepherd leads us are not always pleasant ones. Sometimes they are through situations of deadly danger. Our lack of fear is not because we are not surrounded by danger, but in our ability of our good shepherd, to care for us and protect us from all the threatening evils which are out there to do us danger. We know that the Lord's going to protect us. And our faith in the good shepherd is based on the assurance of his great love for us. We want only good things, and we want to do the right thing. More than 6,000 years ago, mankind, represented in Father Adam, left the mountaintop of life and God's affection and fell out of harmony with God to the plane of sin and death, represented by the valley of the shadow of death, down the broad road to destruction. We are in the same valley, but are being led through the dangers by our shepherd. Our lives are hid with God. We are not in fear or doubt of as the world is. On the contrary, we fear no evil. It is because we have the knowledge of God's divine plan of the ages. Doesn't that help us when we think about the whole situation when it's accomplished? That how everything's going to work out just the way the Lord wants us to. We know that the penalty for sin is death, that the world is on the broad road to destruction, that God has provided redemption for all, that there will be a life after death, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and unjust, and also in due time the world will again reach the mountaintop of life, back to harmony with our Heavenly Father. Can't wait for that time. Knowing all this, we can walk through the valley of shadow of death with melody and singing in our hearts and be happy and be at peace. For thy rod, for thou art with me. Now, thy rod and the staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff were used by the shepherd to assist the sheep out of difficulties, to defend them from their two powerful enemies, and to chasten them when inattentive to his leadings and guidings. In applying this lesson to ourselves, how true it is, the rod and the staff are a comfort to us. We lean on the word of God in our time of need. The word of God is sufficient for all our needs if we are applying ourselves. The Old Testament as well as the New Testament serve to keep the sheep of the gospel age in the path of righteousness. So that's a comfort to us. This is what the Apostle Paul had in mind when he wrote in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For whatever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." The Diaglot says that we might possess the hope. What a promise. Verse 5, Psalms 23, verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." The words are here used for table is simply meaning spread out. Jesus had promised that when he returned, he would gird himself and serve his people meat in due season. And we must be feasting on this table of divine truth. The table provides for us consists of all the precious truths of God's word, his precious promises, his instructions, and having a knowledge of the divine plan. They're all comfort. And then he says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." It was a custom for the shepherd to pour oil upon the head of their sheep, especially at the close of the day, or when weary from traveling. To the sheep, it was refreshing and welcome service rendered unto them. In this custom, we find a beautiful illustration of our great shepherd's care for us and the blessings he bestows upon us through Jesus, the good shepherd, in his giving us the Holy Spirit. Oil is used in the Scriptures as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The anointing oil poured upon the head of the high priest of Israel was a type of the anointing of Jesus with the Holy Spirit. The statement, "Thou anointest my head with oil," indicates what is elsewhere taught in the Scriptures, namely that the anointing of the Holy Spirit first came upon the head of the body of Christ, and throughout the gospel age has been received by the body of its members. Psalms chapter 133, verse 2, "It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. We can all rejoice in the blessings that have come to us through the anointing of the Holy Spirit and its enlightening influence that enables us to understand the deep things of God's Word. The Holy Spirit fills us with love and gives us power and the spirit of a sound mind. And it bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. My cup runneth over. The fullness of the cup has a double significance. It may be a cup of joy or a cup of sorrow. In both respects, it overflows. He who partakes of the cup of joy must also partake of the cup of suffering. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. In this connection, Paul says in Romans chapter 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed unto us." While in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." There was no holding back in accepting the cup once Jesus realized that it was the divine will. In John chapter 18, verse 11, Jesus said unto Peter, "Put up thy sword unto thy sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" It is likewise with us. Once we have prayed about the matter, and when we, in answer to our prayers, we are assured that it is God's will, there should be no hesitation or holding back for doing his will. This experience of Jesus is an indication that at times the cup is used in the scriptures to represent individual experiences for each one of us. There may be times when we may feel self-sufficient, and if we are permitted to go on our own, we are apt to lose our way. The Good Shepherd may pour a cup of bitterness or a cup of humiliation or sorrow or whatever is best for us for individual needs. Verse 6, Psalms 23:6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God's goodness and mercy follow us, refresh us, and strengthen us, and bless us. According to his promise, Jesus is keeping after us, watching over us, and assisting us in our trials. He's with us all the time. He knows what trials we have. He's helping us with them. We don't have to worry about that. The grand finale is stated in these words, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In the heavenly home of which Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself." This shall be an everlasting portion of God's elect church. This wonderful possibility, this hope we have, should inspire each one of us and help us to continue on up that narrow way. Because we have the Lord's assurance for us, he's going to help us, and we have to continue on fighting faithfully. May we, as his sheep, follow faithfully the Lord, leadings of the Lord, feeding on the green pastures, drinking the refreshing of the water he provides, and recognizing all the ways which he cares for us, and be assured that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and in the end we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a glorious consummation to the grandest hope of all. We should not murmur or complain of the roughness of the trail that we're following, because it's, at the end it's going to help us. Let us say with the psalmist, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his blessings, blessings towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Most High." And I'd like to finish by reading the manna for January 25th. To take therefore no thought for morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Our Lord assures us that if the main thought of our hearts is His service and the promotion of righteousness and the attainment of the kingdom which God has promised to them that love Him, then we need carry no anxious cares respecting the future. As His disciples, we will have trials and tribulations enough day by day, and we'll need daily to lean upon the bridegroom's arm as we seek to walk up the narrow way. Sufficient for each day will be the evil of itself, and thanks be to God, we have the promise that daily His grace shall be sufficient for us. And may the Lord add His blessing.